CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, another all-night vote goes to the Republicans.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 48, and on this vote, the bill is amended as passed.
This time, the Senate agreed to claw back $9 billion in federal funding that had already been approved for foreign aid, public health, and public broadcasting. President Trump calling out his own supporters on social media, saying if they continue talking about the refusal to release any more information on Jeffrey Epstein, they're no longer a part of the MAGA movement. However, says ABC's Perry Russum in Washington,
new polling shows a majority of Americans are not happy with the government's handling of the Epstein files, just 17% of people approving. Two-thirds of those polled say they think the government is covering up evidence.
More than 60 people were killed in a fire that broke out in the central Iraqi city of Kut. They were inside a shopping center that had just opened a few days ago. Many of those who were killed in the fire were trapped inside the building. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office has an update to a search for a missing endangered person. The Dodgeville Police Department is conducting an endangered missing person investigation that occurred Tuesday night. At approximately 7:50, the Dodgeville Police Department responded to a welfare check in the 300 block of East Division Street in the city of Dodgeville. Upon arrival, officers made contact with the missing person's family members, who reported that the missing person had not been heard from since approximately 11 o'clock Monday morning. Dodgeville Police Department officers determined that evidence at the scene suggested that the missing person may be injured and or in danger. The missing person's vehicle was not located at the scene, and a public notification was issued. Investigators discovered that the vehicle may be in the state of Nebraska, and information was relayed to the Nebraska State Patrol. At 1:50 Wednesday morning, a Nebraska State Trooper spotted the vehicle on I-80 in Lincoln. The driver was not the subject of the missing person case. The trooper attempted a traffic stop, which resulted in a vehicle pursuit, ending when the vehicle crashed and the driver, identified as Gavin Thompson, 23, of Dodgeville, fled on foot and was subsequently arrested and transported to the Lancaster County Jail in Nebraska. The Iowa County Sheriff's Department has confirmed that a deceased adult female was located in the vehicle and are awaiting positive identification of the deceased female. The Dodgeville Police Department is leading this investigation and is assisted by the Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, a DCI Crime Response Specialist, the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratory Crime Scene Response Team, Iowa County Sheriff's Office, and the Nebraska State Patrol. Additional updates will be available via the Iowa County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers head to the West Coast. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers open up a three-game series tomorrow night at Dodgers Stadium, but whether Sal Frelick will play remains a question mark. The right fielder and Brewers leadoff batter suffering a hamstring injury on Sunday and underwent an MRI. Doctors say Frelick suffered a minor strain but is day-to-day for now. NBA, the Bucks wrapped up their summer league schedule with a loss to the Chicago Bulls 102-96. Former Bucks center Brook Lopez, now with the Clippers, asked about his two-year, $18 million deal with L.A. at the age of 37.
The money's nice. It's that's not what it's about for me. You know, I love playing. I love hooping. I've loved it since I was a little kid. I watched my older brothers play. I've just always been around it, you know, and I love winning just as much. I want to keep winning. I got a great taste for it in Milwaukee, and these guys are all about that here, and I'm all about it, so it's a perfect fit.
That's the Clippers' Brook Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few leftover showers in the overnight, otherwise mostly cloudy skies. We'll wake up to temperatures in the mid and upper 50s. On Thursday, some sunshine returning during the day, light north winds. Afternoon highs in the low to mid 70s. More sunshine Friday. Right now it's 58.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road trip continues. Matt Nair on air and Todd Alba broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery in Butternut. Absolutely join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning, July 17th, 2025. It is truly another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening and spending your mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network, or watching us on social media, catching us by podcast. However you got here, we're glad you got here. I got a question for you. I've asked this one before. Western Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin, are you fully embarrassed by your congressman yet? I got the newest example coming up in just a bit of Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things coming up. In Washington, D.C., right in front of reporters. Real classy guy. My original question was whether you have a particular songbird in your area that starts off your mornings in the spring and summer. I'm sure for a lot of people that's robins. Maybe some of you only get crows or screeching blue jays. Around here in Chippewa, we got cardinals. Lots of cardinals. Chi-High even calls their team the Cardinals, for good reason. I mean, it's a pretty song, and they love hanging around here up on the lake with the sunrise coming up. And folks, and in fact, folks watching on social media know that I put up a new bumper slide, we call it today. That's Lake Wissota this morning with the steam kind of rising off it, upriver a little bit up against the trees by the golf course. It is just a very pretty day. And great to have you along on this Thursday. Coming up, we're going to be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the state budget because of something that wasn't in it, help for homeless veterans, and talk about what Republicans were thinking when they took the budget request from Governor Evers and put $0 in there. A couple of facilities are facing closure. We'll ask Senator Jeff Smith if that can be staved off. We'll talk to child care provider Corrine Hendrickson of New Glarus about something that is not in the state budget, and that would be adequate help for the child care industry. And as a result, she finds herself at a bit of a professional crossroads and is going to tell us more about that. In the latest example of the Trump administration being Watergate on steroids, the U.S. Department of Justice is trying to meddle in state elections offices, including here in Wisconsin. We will review some of the efforts to intimidate officials and get access to your private data. Sherita Booker will review some of this weekend's big fairs, festivals, and concerts. There's one going on here in the Chippewa Valley right down the road to talk about. The Jeffrey Epstein case. That is a sad saga that has already taken far too long for those who deserve justice. Unfortunately, it's a case of an infamous pedophile that has been caught up in politics for disgustingly partisan reasons. Donald Trump and his allies made a cottage industry out of using the case for political gain, and now the president's calling it all a hoax. and his base is not happy about that. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki about whether Trump has cried wolf one too many times when he then tries to say that something is only a hoax. Chad Holmes will be along from 98.9 WXCO about the stories he's following in Wausau. Sean O'Malley has an update on your money and the markets. Brittany Merlot has a forecast and so much more. The 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin, haven't talked about those in a while because it's been nice outside, but there's such a range to pass along. 64 degrees at Radio Park and other places in Wisconsin near the Illinois border, mid-60s there, but low 40s up north, 41 at Solon Springs in Douglas County. It's 43 in Hayward, 59 in Richland Center, 52 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Brittany Merlot's state forecast calls for calm and cool behind the storms, and what storms they were. More chances for rain pop up on the weekend, and next week right now, she says, looks wet. So for today, partly sunny, less humid, highs around 70 up north, 75 south, with a north wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly clear, chilly even, lows around 50 up north, 55 south, with a light southeasterly wind. That was some nasty weather as we turn things over to Parker Olson, who is producing this shindig from Madison Studio A2. Stormy, scary weather for folks in the southern, third of Wisconsin, including young Parker Olson, who was thankfully, we put him there in that broom closet that we call A2, and he is completely safe from pretty much anything in the interior of that secure building right near the state capitol.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that you could have all of the windows blow out in this building, and I would be perfectly fine where I am.
Yes, you
would. I am nowhere near any windows. Thankfully, yesterday when I left, it was not... it wasn't awful. It was just kind of like, for maybe 20 seconds or so, it would absolutely downpour, and then it was pretty much fine. Like, I left while that was happening, which might not have been the best decision. I got a lot of water at
I'll
one
bet
point.
You did.
But it was all right.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking like maybe a dozen areas of where there were either tornadoes or suspected tornadoes. There were touchdowns in Sauk and Dodge counties for sure. Thankfully, you know, no deaths reported. I'm not even seeing any reports here of serious injuries, but there were concerns about flash flooding and more. It did, you know, I was looking at the radar as it was coming across, and I know I checked in with you at one point during the day, and you kind of had that look out the corner of your eye going, what's this coming?
The radar was a little worrying. When you see colors that you didn't know were on a radar, spectrum, it's a little worrying.
I liked what somebody said. It looked like the finish line of a color run as they're throwing all those colored powders around it.
That's really good.
So, again, things are a lot calmer here, and Brittany Merlot will be along right after the 7 o'clock news to tell us more. Here's a little update on something that was supposed to happen last night. We talked to State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker about a town hall that was scheduled. The stormy weather yesterday led to its postponement until tonight. To let residents around La Crosse and the rest of the 3rd Congressional District weigh in on that Trump mega bill that was supported by Congressman Derek Van Orden. It's the bill that's going to make life harder for tens of thousands of his own constituents just to lower taxes for millionaires. That town hall will now be held this evening at 6 p.m. Head to mobilize.us, and search for La Crosse to register. There's another thing going on this evening up in Wausau I want to tell you about. This is all under the umbrella of civic engagement. Instead of just, you know, caterwauling about politics and the state of the world, you can do things about it. You can go to this town hall in La Crosse this evening and, you know, help people understand that there are so many people unhappy with the direction this Congress is going in. And then in Wausau this evening, the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition will have a forum. They started a statewide Fair Maps community hearing tour last night in Green Bay, and it's in Wausau this evening to shape the future of redistricting. They'll tell you that Wisconsin has fair maps right now, and that's great, but they are temporary. Without some lasting legislation ahead of the 2030 census, it is entirely possible that Wisconsin will slide back to a system where the politicians get to pick their voters and ignore the will of the majority. So the Fair Maps Coalition has written a draft proposal and is looking for public input on a on their statewide tour. It kicked off last night, and you can watch what happened last night on YouTube for the channel of the League of Wisconsin Voters of Greater Green Bay. Again, the League of Women Voters. The League of Women Voters of Greater Green Bay. They have a presentation there from last night on Fair Maps in Wisconsin, an outline of a proposal for an independent redistricting commission. Doesn't that sound nice? An independent redistricting commission. And there will be time for some Q&A as well. Tonight's forum is in Wausau at the Public Library, 300 First Street, from 6 to 8 this evening. If you want to register, go to fairmapswi.com, fairmapswi.com, to register or to learn more. Then the group has a forum scheduled for next Wednesday in Waukesha, and others are being set up for Madison, Milwaukee, and more. So, again, not enough can be said about the difference that was made when the rigged maps that date back to 2011 were finally changed, in part because voters helped overturn the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That sent a message. But if, for some reason, Republicans hold the majority, even build on their majority in the legislature next year and win the governor's race, you can guarantee that they will monkey around with the maps yet again and try to lock gerrymandered maps in place for at least another decade. Alicia writes on YouTube that you can also call your state legislators when it comes to helping homeless veterans and ask them to support a funding bill that was introduced yesterday by Senator Jamie Wall and Reps Ryan Spaud and also Representative Rivera Wagner, Ahmaud Rivera Wagner. Yes, call your legislators, whoever they are, and tell them, look, I don't know how this happened, how you ended up with $0 in the state budget, but you can fix this, so go fix this. And again, we will talk to State Senator Jeff Smith around 7:30 on that topic. Corrine Hendrickson at about 7:10. Talking about the state budget and the lack of support for child care. All right, real quick. You say we asked you. We talked about the Derek Van Orden Town Hall tonight in La Crosse. I asked if you were embarrassed enough. Here he is, coming past Congressman Mark Pocan, standing outside the U.S. Capitol as part of a press gaggle. Pocan's talking to reporters. Van Orden comes riding by on his Harley, revs it as he's going past the cameras because that's what any jerk would do. And then after parking his bike, these two congressmen mix it up in front of reporters, and it was all captured on camera. It lasts a minute or so. Give a listen.
That's the real problem.
Anything else? There he is.
Buddy, Derek Van Orden, you can put that on the news.
Was that on me?
No.
It's the nicest thing he did to me all day.
Hey, Derek. Classy as always, man. We love it. Thank you.
Have you lost your mind?
Yeah, right.
You know, people read this stuff.
I saw your drunken tweet at 1:30 in the morning last night.
No, I got done with the NDA.
Oh,
I
got it.
Listen, Mark,
yeah,
it's
a problem,
and I don't know what it is, but I encourage you to seek mental health counseling. It's absolutely disgusting.
Derek, why don't you debate me? Why are you so afraid to debate anyone? Here, we could do this in the media. Why don't you want to debate the big, beautiful bill?
Mark Pocan, why are you afraid to never had a job life other than politics, and he doesn't understand it.
I've owned a small business for 37 years. Tony, you own a small business. That's a little work, isn't it?
And he funnels over $500,000 a year of his campaign money to buy signs from his company.
Okay, look that up. Oh, my God. Are you drinking right now, Derek? That's the real question. All right.
Again, Derek Van Orden walking up to Mark Pocan, who was talking to reporters, hurling personal insults and making claims that, you know, he can't justify, throwing out tired old talking points, saying to someone who's had a small business for forever that he's never held a real job. That is Derek Van Orden in a nutshell. And again, you can see why people will be showing up in La Crosse this evening to talk more about the bill that he supported and what other damage he's done so far as a member of Congress. Again, mobilize.us, search for La Crosse to learn more. We have much more to cover in terms of the headlines on the day's news, all on the way. By the way, Charlotte Scott from Spectrum News. We want to make sure we get proper credit for that clip that we just shared. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems, submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag,
this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. A reminder that if you can't catch us live, you can always pod this program. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. Just head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe, follow us, like us. Maybe put a comment in there if you're subscribing through Apple. Rate us and take us along with you. Again, our first preference is that you're listening on live local radio, but there are all kinds of platforms out there, as evidenced by all the comments that we get on Facebook and YouTube. And certainly the podcast subscriptions as well. And while you're subscribing to our podcast, subscribe to our newsletters. Head to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the top banner and get connected to our newsletters, including the one that I do on Sunday mornings. The Sunday morning one includes a question of the week, which this week is garnering a lot of response about the direction of the Democratic Party. There are folks who feel it being pulled to the left or... That sounds like it's against people's will. There are people who very forcefully want the party to be more to the left. There are others that say this is alarming. It will turn off moderates. There are others who say, hey, this is a big tent. It depends on where you're living. You know, an AOC can get elected in the Bronx, but not necessarily, say, the 7th Congressional District in northern Wisconsin. But what about the party itself? Which way should it be going? And that's our question of the week, getting a lot of responses. You can weigh in as well by email. Head to radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Send us an email with your thoughts on that as well. From the text line here, Jim in Brookfield says, good morning, Pat and Parker. Here in Brookfield and Waukesha County, we also have Cardinals. I currently hear several as I'm sipping my coffee while sitting out on the patio. not unexpected since we live on Cardinal Crest Drive, says Jim. Well, Jim, thank you for the info on that. And yes, I mean, cardinals, you can find them all over Wisconsin. But I know when I moved here from, you know, having lived in some larger cities, it was a very refreshing thing to have such beautiful singing, especially around sunrise and again at sunset. You know, I'm here in this nice, comfortable home studio in Lake Wasota, but some of my other friends over at the Civic Media Radio Network, they are on the road. They're waking up in unfamiliar locations and getting ready to have some fun again today. That, of course, will be Todd Alba, Jane Mattiner, Greg Bach. They are road tripping this week. They were in Oshkosh yesterday, and they are waking up somewhere in the Butternut Park Falls area. They're going to be broadcasting from up north today. Matt and Air on Air begins at 9 right after this fine program. Kelly Meredith, the owner of Fanatical Fish Art Gallery, will be joining Jane and Greg just after 9 o'clock. And, of course, you can catch Todd's show from 2 to 4. Now, it's going to be an interesting Maggie Dawn show coming up today from 4 to 6, slated to appear at State Attorney General Josh Call. Just after 4 o'clock, we'll be discussing one of his many lawsuits. This one against freezing education funds. The Trump administration is trying to put the U.S. Department of Education out of business, freezing money that's designed to go to educate children in Wisconsin. And Josh Call and other state attorneys general are suing. This is one of 24 different lawsuits that Josh Call has been involved in, some of them already successful in trying to keep Donald Trump from acting like a monarch when it comes to deciding what happens with our tax dollars. Maggie Dawn also talks to Mia Ivy Rubley from the Center for American Progress at 4:30, discussing the impacts of the Trump mega bill on the disabled. So again, that all coming up on the Maggie Dawn show, where you could say a little bit of news was made on the show yesterday when she was talking to State Senator Chris Larson about, you know, things that include the 2026 elections. And I know that at some point, Senator Chris Larson said something on the Maggie Dawn show that, you know, raised a couple of eyebrows about Governor Tony Evers and running for a third term or not. Parker, is that a little snippet of audio that we have here, or is that something that we can catch on the news later on? Do you have it there?
Yeah, I've got it right now.
All right, let's give a listen to what State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee had to say.
A bit of a kerfuffle over the last hour or so about whether or not Governor Evers is running for re-election. Some sources saying he's going to announce that he's not running for a third term. And his spokesperson then responding on X within the last, I don't know, handful of minutes that, that's not an actual thing. Your reactions to all the hubbub, sir?
Yeah, I people have been talking about this for quite a while, but I guess we'll find out whenever they make an announcement. For our part, I would hope that Tony Evers does read the room and is ready to pass the baton to the next generation to be able to make sure that we actually have people who are ready to fight for our state.
So there you go. There's State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee saying that he believes, reading the room indicates that Governor Evers should not run for a third term. Needless to say, there are other Democrats who say that is not the temperature of the room at all. Would Senator Chris Larson be one of those candidates for governor if Evers decides not to run for a third term? Certainly can't rule that out. But again, it's an announcement the governor is going to make on his own schedule. And you heard Maggie Dawn alluding to, you know, the rumor mill yesterday, and it's not really based on anything that is properly sourced, shall we say. You don't know if it's based on knowledgeable information or if somebody is projecting their wishful thinking. It really is just a matter of keeping it tuned right here. And when there is official news coming from the governor's office, we will let you know. All right. Well, the Brewers are going to get set to get back in action. They are heading out to the West Coast, back to Los Angeles for a series with the Dodgers. And that weekend series begins tomorrow. So we've got some late night West Coast baseball on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pre-game coverage tomorrow for the Brewers and Dodgers begins at 8:35. So 8:35 on a Friday night, get your baseball fix as the Brewers take on the Dodgers there. Coming up next, we're going to hear from our social media manager at Up North News, Sherita Booker, some great events that you can take part in this weekend all around Wisconsin. We've mentioned some of the fairs and festivals. She's got a few more. That's all coming up right after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Commodity prices might be a little soft, but that is not dimming optimism in the dairy industry by processors. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We are seeing an explosion of dairy processing plants being built in the Northeast. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, says, and dairy producers in that region are thrilled.
You know, we have a couple big plants growing in the Northeast, a Fairlife plant. Later this year, Chobani invested some big amount of money for expansion in the future there too. So I do expect that we're going to see milk production grow in spots like that. I know dairy producers that I talked to in New York are really excited about the new investment in the dairy processing industry in their state. Elsewhere, you know, we have had new cheese plants open up in Texas, Kansas here over the past 6 months, some expansions elsewhere that we are continuing to see. Dairy producers look to expand milk production, especially around those new plants.
Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg. Now, dairy yesterday was pretty quiet in Chicago. Barrel and block cheese were both unchanged. Double A butter down a penny at $2.53 a pound. What's happening on a Thursday morning in the marketplace? We've got those numbers next.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
All right, in current overnight activity, Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 40 points. Right now, we've got September corn up a penny, December new crop up a penny at 425. Soybeans for August are up 2, November new crop up to 1022. September wheat is down a penny at 540, December down a penny and a half at 560. Currently, the Class 3 milk for August that goes into cheese up 7 at 1753. September Class 3 milk currently up 9 at 1827 a hundredweight. So, just a quick snapshot on what's happening as far as the markets and the influence on the market so far for Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Calmer today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine, cooler and less humid, a high of 73. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny on Friday, beautiful with a high of 76. It's 58 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wonderfully Wisconsin's Paul Vandenplas, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then I'm joined by Jason Mansmith from the Thrasher Opera House. We're going to light a Thursday like it's a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Go to learn a little bit more about things that you can do across Wisconsin this weekend. Every summer weekend is a great one to see something new in Wisconsin. So maybe put one of these on your calendar. You'll hear about them from Sharita Booker, our social media manager. Sharita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. There's just so many great options out here that we're going to do. Let's see. The three we're picking today will take us to Northwest Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, and then down to Southeast Wisconsin. Let's start with the one that got going yesterday, and that, of course, would be the Lumberjack World Championships up in Hayward.
Yep, and that'll run through Saturday, and athletes from around the world will compete in 24 events over the 3 days to claim the world champion title. Now, some of those competitions include sawing, chopping, speed climbing, log rolling, boom running, a standing block chop, and more. The festival will also feature vendors, food trucks, the Swinging Axe Beer Garden, and live music. General admission tickets start at $24 for adults and $19 for children 5 through 12. And for tickets and more info on that, visit lumberjackworldchampionships.com.
I would like to call attention to one thing you said there that I did not think would ever happen in my lifetime. What did you call it? The Swinging Axe Beer Garden.
Yes.
Okay. For most of my life, I associated swinging an axe around beer with Lizzie Borden. And now we're encouraging it. Have you ever been to one of those bars where they have axe throwing as a game? And would you take part in it?
I've heard of them, and I would. I would try it out, see how good I am.
Okay. I have been to, like, the Chuck E. Cheese version of one where, you know, the dartboard is all plastic and it's a like a rubber mallet or whatever. But I have not been to one of, the ones with the sharp implements. You know why? Because they're real sharp instruments around people with alcohol. But hey, more power to the folks that do it, enjoy it, and come out with all their digits still attached. So lots of fun to be experienced up in Hayward this weekend. Now, meanwhile, in the Chippewa Valley, it is Country Jam time. And I know it's been a little while now, but I always feel like saying again, Country Jam is in a new location because maybe people don't go every year. It was along the river down on the south side of Eau Claire for the longest time. And now it's got brand new digs up in the northwest corner right off of Highway 29. What are folks going to see at Country Jam this weekend?
So it'll kick off with the lineup that includes Bailey Zimmerman, Chase Rice, David Lee Murphy, Josh Ross, and Kaylee Bell. Friday's lineup will include Cole Swindle, Dylan Scott, Sarah Evans, Mark Chestnut, and Casey Ashton. And Saturday's lineup will feature Sam Hunt, Jake Owen, Craig Morgan, Dylan Marlowe, and Tiger Lily Gold. There will also be food trucks, craft beer, whiskey bars, and more. And one-day general admission tickets start at $119, and a three-day general admission ticket starts at $179. So to grab your tickets and get more info, head to countryjamwi.com.
Yep, this is all at the new Eau Claire Event Center, where there are plenty of other things that go on there as well. Lots of room for camping and more. So a lot of folks coming to the Chippewa Valley this weekend for that. Let's go down to the southeast corner of the state. Another one of the big festivals that takes place in the Milwaukee area. It is time for Bastille Days.
Yep, Bastille Days is kicking off today. And that festival is one of North America's largest outdoor French festival, which also is free and attracts over 250,000 visitors each year. There will be live music, an international marketplace, French and Cajun cuisine, and a signature 43-foot Eiffel Tower replica with hourly light shows. The annual Storm the Bastille Days 5K Walk or Run starts tonight also at 9 p.m. and will wind through downtown Milwaukee's historic Third Ward. Registration for that is still available, and it's $40 for a ticket. And you can just head to easttown.com/Bastille-days/ to get your registration ticket.
There you go. And again, as somebody who was just down there for Summerfest, I can tell you that there's so many other festivals besides that in that area. And Bastille Days is without a doubt one of the biggest and one that is most enjoyed. So that on top of all the county fairs and other things that we've been talking about this week. So you got no excuse to sit on the couch this weekend. Sherita Booker, thank you so much for running those down. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Pat.
And by the way, so many fairs and festivals, including Barron County Fair up in Rice Lake, the Dane County Fair gets started today at the Alliant Energy Center. County fairs for Fond du Lac County, Greene County, St. Croix County, Trempealeau County, Waukesha County, the La Crosse Interstate Fair, all happening today. You got no reason to be a couch potato. Well, from the Washington Post yesterday comes evidence that, as a lot of us suspected, President Trump, having gained the reins of power once again, is setting things in motion that could enable him to hijack the 2028 presidential election. The U.S. Department of Justice, according to the Washington Post, has hit states, including Wisconsin, with broad requests for voter rolls, election data, and more. Election clerks from both parties that have already been facing harassment and lawsuits over Trump's lies about the 2020 election are worried about efforts to examine voting machines and more. Now, keep in mind, the U.S. Department of Justice has always been a quasi-independent entity. It's now being used in a way that our founders always feared could happen, which is why you had that bit of independence. Being used by the President of the United States for political harassment. And the U.S. Department of Justice has now taken the unusual step of asking at least 9 states for copies of their voter rolls. They went to a mix of Republican and Democratic-controlled states, and Ann Jacobs, chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, told the Washington Post she worries the federal government, through Trump, could try to use the information to justify new rules that would make it harder to cast ballots. She notes that, you know, the sloppy use of this data could result in inaccurate matches that would give election skeptics a reason to tout exaggerated claims, or shall we say lies, about ineligible voters appearing on the rolls. She says that voters deserve answers about why the administration wants this information and what they plan to do with it. She says, is this a backdoor way to get access to data that the statutes have said they're not entitled to have? The administration's efforts, fueled by Trump's ongoing claims that the 2020 election was somehow stolen, have been rattling officials from both parties. They feared that the administration could try to build a national file that includes personal information about voters, or that they could impose rules that would boot eligible voters from the rolls and make it harder to cast a ballot. That's happening right now in the Trump administration in the United States of America. Here's something else that President Trump is doing that has an impact on Wisconsin. There is going to be an opening on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals as Diane Sykes moves to senior status. But from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea and Dan Bice say that unlike most of the time when Wisconsin's two senators, Republican Ron Johnson and Democrat Tammy Baldwin, work together to provide a list of potential nominees to the White House has moved off on its own and has already been conducting interviews for that seat on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Sources tell the Journal Sentinel they've interviewed a handful of conservative candidates on their own before Johnson and Baldwin's offices could vet, interview, and submit names to the White House. At least 5 have traveled to Washington, D.C. to sit down for interviews with White House staff in mid-May, according to multiple sources. Here's what a White House spokesperson had to say. We welcome the feedback from outside groups, but the final determination is from the president after consultation with senior staff. we welcome the feedback of outside groups, you know, like Congress, like the United States Senate. To them is now just an outside group. Now, should we read anything into any of these candidates? Well, one of them is currently representing former Dane County Judge Jim Troupas. Where have you heard that name before? Oh, yeah. He's facing state charges in the fake elector scheme from Donald Trump back in 2020. And by the way, the Trump administration did not review and interview any currently sitting judges. Oh, but wait, there's more. This one from Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you remember the Superior refinery explosion from 7 years ago? Well, the next Trump budget is coming, and it proposes to eliminate the agency that investigates things like the refinery explosion in Superior. And yes, we are talking about a new budget bill. The thing that passed a couple of weeks back was a budget reconciliation bill for the current year. But a new federal budget is required for the next fiscal year, the one that starts on October 1st. And so one of the first items being reported about Trump's new budget plan is the elimination of the U.S. Chemical Safety Board. That's the panel that investigated the explosion at the Husky Superior Refinery in 2018. It's not the first time, Wisconsin Public Radio notes, that Trump has proposed getting rid of the agency, but Superior Mayor Jim Payne told WPR that would be a mistake. He said that if the Chemical Safety Board had been better funded 10 to 15 years ago, they might have been better able to educate the refinery in Superior about how to prevent the explosion that ended up happening. Had that been prevented, not only would people not have been hurt, the refinery could have saved millions of dollars in the rebuild. These agencies are good for the industry. The WPR report says that in the last 5 years, nearly 500 serious chemical incidents have occurred in 43 states. Eliminating the Chemical Safety Board would save less than $15 million. And of course, it wouldn't actually save money. That money would just go into tax cuts for billionaires. You'll recall that during a visit to Superior 3 years ago to celebrate passage of the bipartisan infrastructure law, President Joe Biden cited the refinery incident when he was announcing funding to replace the aging Blatnick Bridge that connects Superior to Duluth. He said, you know, when the Husky oil refinery exploded back in 2018, that bridge was one that many of you took to get your families to safety, so you know it matters. Yes, it does matter. I just told you a lot of that over the past, what, three, four minutes? I think it would be enough just to say President Trump is eliminating getting rid of the U.S. Chemical Safety Board. It's not exactly something that the industry is seeking, at least not the good actors in the industry are seeking. But that's where we're at. One more. President Trump really stepped in it yesterday, giving fresh material to those who think the 79-year-old is starting to make Joe Biden's mental missteps look like baby steps. The president was raging against Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, during an Oval Office press gaggle on Wednesday, complaining. He's been complaining for months about the head of the central bank not cutting interest rates as quickly as he wants them to. Trump said, he's a terrible Fed chair. I was surprised he was appointed. I was surprised, frankly, that Biden put him in and extended him. However, as the Daily Beast notes in its article here, it was Trump who appointed Powell to lead the Federal Reserve during his first term. And in his November 2017 announcement, the president praised Powell's leadership, judgment, and expertise. Only the best people. Until he's used them up, until they stop being yes men for whatever he wants, which is exactly what an authoritarian strongman would want, and not the way a democracy works best. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do. Mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're always going to know a Vince Guaraldi tune when you hear it. The jazz pianist was born this day in 1928. That, of course, one of his signature tunes, Linus and Lucy, and so many other tunes that he composed for the Peanuts cartoon series, all the specials, especially A Charlie Brown Christmas and more. Vince Guaraldi was born Vince DiLaggio in San Francisco, and passed away far too soon back in 1976 at the age of 47. Here's a big birthday today, and I can't even surprise Perker because he sees the list ahead of time when I say, "Do you know whose birthday this is?"
I actually have not looked yet.
You've not looked? How would
I haven't like
the music?
I didn't read through all the stuff.
Okay.
Oh.
I hold up my Roy Kent coffee mug, normally on Fridays, used today because. Actor Brett Goldstein, 45 years old today. Did Greg Bach leave that button for you on Brett Goldstein as Roy Kent blowing his whistle?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that.
Brett Goldstein, Roy Kent did not want to have a whistle when he was coaching the team. Okay. So he just shouted, "Whistle!
Whistle!
Whistle!" He is also in the Apple TV series Shrinking. And I talked about it yesterday for its Emmy nominations. He's really good in it. He is nothing like the Roy Kent character. It's a serious role. And he's good. Shrinking is good. Highly recommended. All right, let's move on to more birthdays. Born this day in 1939 was Spencer Davis of the conveniently named Spencer Davis Group. Now, this is one of those cases where, you know, much like Carlos Santana, his name's on the label, but somebody else is doing the singing. Stevie Winwood sings Gimme Some Lovin' in this one, but Spencer Davis was born in Wales this day in 1939, passed away in 2020 at the age of 81. Got a royal birthday here. Queen Camilla turns 78 years old today in the UK. On this day in 1975, Bob Marley and the Wailers played a historic concert in London that featured a version of No Woman, No Cry that became an instant classic. Born this day in 1952, the late Nicolette Larson, who had a couple of hits in the 70s. Nicolette Larson again, gone far too soon in 1997 at the age of 45. The Hoff is 73 years old today. David Hasselhoff means nothing to you, right? Because, I mean, the big Baywatch years.
It's just a name. Yeah.
It's just a name. But, you know, the Hoff is getting older. But, you know, I'm sure he's still willing to wear that Speedo out on the beach if you ask him to. David Hasselhoff is 73. Yeah. Disneyland, the original, opened in Anaheim on this day in 1955, opened with a live broadcast on ABC, which was a big deal for back in the mid-50s. Finally, a birthday of somebody who's still with us. Happy birthday to singer Regina Bell. She is 62 years old today. On this day in 1984, the national drinking age in the U.S. was changed to 21. This really annoyed a whole lot of people who were caught in the middle. They were looking forward to turning 18, and then it was raised to 19. And then just as they were about to turn 19, it was raised to 21.
Yeah, that was my uncle.
I'm sure he's never stopped talking about it.
Nope. You know?
Has not. One more birthday here, and that would be country singer Luke Bryan is 49 years old today. I got that real good, feel good stuff up under the seat of my big black jacked up truck, rolling on 35s, pretty girl by my side. All right, here's where I get in trouble. Luke Bryan is extremely popular. I get that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, his voice is almost a parody of country music to me. It just is. It's just so, I don't know. I just think it's one of those that you're going to look back on and go, oh, yeah, that was a style that you were only going to hear during that time.
That was the country boy.
That was a country boy back then. Luke Bryan, 49 years old today. On this day in 1968, the Beatles' fourth film, Yellow Submarine, debuted. And the movie Endless Love debuted in 1981, starring Brooke Shields. Nobody remembers the movie at all. It was just a complete dud. But the theme song to it was a duet by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross, and it spent 9 weeks at number one and earned Lionel Richie an Academy Award for Best Song. All right, we've got a melancholy one to pass along, and we were first told about it by Roger on Facebook, saying, very sad to hear of the passing of Connie Francis. She recently had an album cut called Pretty Little Baby that went viral on TikTok. And so pulling up the New York Times story from late yesterday, Connie Francis, whose ballads dominated 60s pop music, died at the age of 87. Did not cite a cause of death, according to her publicist. She had, according to the New York Times, a petite, pretty, easy, and fluid vocal style, a powerful set of lungs, in a natural way with a wide variety of material. She had three number one hits, including Everybody's Somebody's Fool, My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own, and Don't Break the Heart That Loves You. Again, Connie Francis passing away at the age of 87. In the next hour, here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, we're going to be talking to Corrine Hendrickson. She's a daycare provider from the New Glarus area who is at a professional crossroads because of what was and what was not in the state budget when it came to dealing with the crisis of affordable child care in this country. That's right after the news, and then later in our next hour, State Senator Jeff Smith, all about the lack of funding for homeless veterans in the new state budget. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate overnight passing $9 billion in spending cuts President Trump wanted, including deep reductions to foreign aid, as well as funding for NPR and PBS. New Jersey Democratic Senator Andy Kim on the floor before the vote.
Public broadcasting has educated and informed and inspired generations, teaching important lessons to people of all ages and sharing powerful stories, including of our nation's veterans.
Missouri Republican Senator Eric Schmidt also before the vote.
We are on the precipice in this chamber right now to do something that is rarely done in this town, which is to identify waste, fraud, and abuse and actually do something about it.
President Trump continuing to lash out at his supporters and Democrats who continue calling for all of the Jeffrey Epstein files to be released, the president calling them stupid people. A Catholic church in Gaza shelled overnight. Two priests and five other people hurt. Pope Francis had called that